on digital radio, on the app, on your smartphone, on X, YouTube, and Facebook. The Sportscast. World Cup coming.
The update presented by The Sportscast.
The Sportscast, July 6, 2026. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all your channels, Facebook, YouTube, X, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. You can also visit our website, thesportscast.net. You can also follow us on X and Instagram at thesportscast1 and check out our app, The Sportscast for iOS. England has defeated their demons from the 1986 World Cup. Two goals by Bellingham, never been done since Maradona World Cup 1986. And a man who's returned to the Sportscast after a few years hiatus and remembers Diego Maradona, Andy Evans. Welcome back.
Great to be here.
Andrew Evans, what are your thoughts over this World Cup so far? You are, because your first World Cup was 86, wasn't it?
No, the first World Cup I remember was 78.
Wow. In Argentina.
In Argentina. They kind of, all the commentators spoke down telephone lines, you know, it was kind of grainy. That kind of added to the amazement of it, you know, being on the other side of the world.
Incredible. Yeah, that World Cup I did not. My first was 1994 in the U.S., so this World Cup brings a lot of good memories. So your thoughts over this World Cup so far, obviously, you know, it's been a good one. 48 teams 48 in the U.S. teams. In three countries, never been done before.
Yeah, no, I probably had a little bit of skepticism about the size, but I think once the tournament started, I found myself, I don't think I'm typical in this, but I found myself intrigued in the early rounds to some of the teams that had never been before. And just, you know, what is going to happen when Uzbekistan plays Colombia, you know, like just some of these ties and the fact that there wasn't all the superstars playing in every one of them. Those are the games that had the most intrigue for me. And the thing for me that's been the best thing about it is teams have been trying to attack, or the teams that have been trying to attack have done well. And it's, you know, they've been rewarded on the whole. And I think that's been good for the tournament. I think teams have come here trying to entertain. Whatever people's opinions are on the World Cup being in the U.S., I think it's been pretty phenomenal. The things we were told were going to be problematic have not been. Ticket sales. I mean, I've tried to get tickets.
I've been to one game.
You've been to a game. I went to a watch party because I was told, you know, tickets will drop to $100. No one's going to want to see it. There was no empty seats at Jordan versus Austria. Complete sellout. So all the sort of naysayers have sort of gone away now. I mean, listen, there's arguments you can make about the cost. I don't like the cost is so high, but if people are paying for the tickets and it's a chance for FIFA to make bank, and you can understand why they're trying to do that.
Yeah. Which we'll speak about that later. A little brief intro. Andy is a England fan, as you can see if you're watching on video.
Well, you know what? I interchange. I got my U.S. as well, you see.
There you have it. I guess we know who you're going for tonight. And also a Burnley fan supporter who just got relegated to the championship.
Yeah, did you know that Burnley arrive on Friday, the day before the England quarterfinal?
That's right. They have a friendly in Vegas, was it?
No, they're playing in Cincinnati on Friday, but they're here for quite a while. They've got a bunch of games.
Right.
And I've been waiting for this, and I'm actually going to be gone for most of them. I'm not going to get to see one. So.
Wow. It's because of the new ownership from Salt Lake City. They've been
owners for a while. It's taken them until now to finally come out here. I don't know what took them so long. But, yeah. But looks pretty interesting. We don't even have a coach yet. So.
Well, it should be coming soon.
It better.
All right. Well, let's go to the highlight of last night. England defeating Mexico 3-2. England overcame hostility at altitude. And Jarrell Quantz's red card as Thomas Tuchel's side edged a 3-2 blockbuster against the World Cup co-host Mexico to set up a quarterfinal clash with Norway. goals by Jude Bellingham, the 36th minute, and the 38th, two goals in a minute and a half or 2 minutes.
Amazing.
And then Harry Kane, 60th minute, and of course, Mexico tried to tie it up, but they couldn't with Quiñones, and then Jimenez, Raul Jimenez from Fulham, now with Wolverhampton with a penalty. But your thoughts over last night's game, obviously the atmosphere, you know the history of England and Mexico. They've been cheated off, you know, and obviously the news rumbling heading towards this match, but your overall thoughts?
Well, yeah, so you've got the history of England and Mexico, I think, is 1970, going out in the quarterfinal to West Germany with Bobby Charlton being substituted. I believe England was 2-0 up at the time, and they end up losing the game 3-2. Many believe that was a better team than even 1966. The game of the tournament was the 1-0 defeat to Brazil, which I think was actually played in Guadalajara. And then, 1986, of course. England played all their games in Mexico and met Argentina in the quarterfinal at the Azteca. So, obviously, I mean, it wasn't a game I think we dominated by any means, but, you know, there was the hand of God goal. And so I believe it's maybe we've played there in a friendly sense. You probably know that. So it's more the history of that stadium rather than a game against Mexico. But I just had no idea how this game was going to go. I think England fans are kind of traumatized a little bit by big tournaments because we haven't won one since 66. And we've come close a few times. We've just got almost a book of tragic endings. And so, you just kind of wonder if this is just going to be another one. It looks a really, really tough place to go. Mexico have been playing phenomenally well, I thought. But obviously this elevation advantage, and then once we won, beat Congo, and you realize we were going to Mexico, suddenly then the talk is all about, I'm like, why weren't we talking about this before? We should have known we would have to go through Mexico City. But, you know, you've only got three
days. I warned you, too.
You did, yeah. But I think it's game at a time, isn't it? You don't take Congo for granted. And so once they'd won that game, obviously all the thoughts went to Mexico. And then it was like, wait a minute. You're going to go down there, deal with elevation. It's not going to be long enough. So I had a feeling the game was going to play out tight. I probably thought Mexico were favorites. I thought penalties, if it went to penalties, would suit them. What I didn't have a map for was how cleverly England started the game in sitting deep and the two goals, which was a classic away performance. But then when Quiñones scored for them and pulled it back, I'm like, well, wait a minute, all that hard work could be undone. Then we get the red card, and then you really worry about it. And then we go and get a penalty at the other end. So it was an amazing game of soccer. A lot of people were saying last night, and I think I agree with this, this was probably England's best World Cup tournament win since 1966.
Wow.
Under the circumstances. Respect to Mexico, I think they're a good team. But obviously the home advantage and the Azteca and the elevation, and England only having a few days to prepare. Massive, massive advantage for them, whether they like it or not. I know they've handled the defeat really, really well, and they've been very gracious. But or is it just that England are a good team? And I think there's an argument for that as well, especially the way Bellingham. I thought Gordon had his best game in an England shirt that I've seen. I haven't watched all the sort of friendlies and stuff. Pickford was outstanding. The D played really well, and I love the way that Stones came on and really cemented that, and Byrne and that last 11 minutes was probably the most painful 11 minutes I've ever watched soccer. It was really hard to watch because I thought at any minute, one of these is going to go in. And we'd already subbed out Kane. It would have been, couldn't believe that board at 11 minutes. But fair play to England. I mean, they had to go through everything last night to get that win. And I probably didn't expect it.
They passed the test. Your thoughts over Jude's two goals? Is this his coming out party? Is this where he is solidified as a star in this team? Obviously, he's played for England for a couple of years already, but the Real Madrid player did not have a good season. But coming into this match, I think is his debut, you think? Or?
Well, I mean, it's the high watermark now, isn't it? Because he's clearly got that potential. But, you know, until you do it in a World Cup knockout game, you know, it is a lot of talk. And you saw that with Haaland yesterday. And you saw it with Bellingham. I mean, yeah, he took those goals incredibly well. And now he's scored two vital goals in a vital knockout game. I mean, I know it's the last 16, but I kind of felt like later in the tournament, just given the stakes and what a tough ask it was to go down there and win. But yeah, I would agree that that's certainly for England, that's his big statement. He's played consistently well, though, but I think he did the business last night.
Quite something. Harry Kane as well shined a lot last night. Had a great has having a good tournament. He's in the running for the Golden Boot award. He's up there with Haaland, Messi, and Mbappe. So we'll see how this England squad goes. Julian Quiñones, of course, scored, and with 10 men, Andy, was a big test for you guys. Kwanzaa, was that a valid red card?
I think so. I mean, I think a lot of American fans are watching this tournament maybe for the first time, and they're wondering about some of the calls. Look, his foot lands on the top of the ball. He doesn't mean it. He loses control and he goes. I mean, that is a red card. Now, should it be a red card? You can have that discussion. But officially, it is a red card. So it's not like the Balogun one. I think the Balogun one was a massive mistake. I don't think this is a mistake. I didn't want it to be a red card, and I didn't think it was at the time. But when they went back to it, I knew he was going to get a red.
Which has been overturned. I don't know if they could overturn this one. I doubt it.
Well, they can't overturn it because it's a red card. So I under the present rules, you could change the rules, but I don't think they're going to change the rules because it is still a dangerous, even though it's an accident. It's a little bit different if people can break the leg playing soccer and there's no foul because it is a contact sport. But if your foot goes over like that, even running off the top of the ball, he lost control of his tackle. I agree. It's harsh, but that's what the rule says, that it is a red.
Right. Quite something. The rules of football invented by England. So,
well, probably not all the rules were, but the original rules, I think, were.
What do you think about Thomas Tuchel's type of coaching so far compared to the previous coaches you've seen for England?
Well, I won't claim to be a complete expert on Tuchel, but I just feel good about what I'm seeing. I always felt Southgate was far too cautious. I felt like that was probably the best England team in my lifetime. I'm not even sure if he's got quite as good a squad this time. There's been talk about the people he's left at home. Some of them had a lot of injury during the season, thinking of Palmer. And Alexander Arnold should have gone for me. But 100%. I don't want to argue with it. I've always said, well, maybe it's going to take a German to get England
over. Never write the Germans off.
Whatever it takes. And so far, so good. I mean, I think he prepares well for games. He came into this tournament, prepared well for that Croatia game. I'm not so sure we prepared as well for Ghana, and that was a bit of a blip. Panama, same. It wasn't a great performance, but we did enough. And then he prepared well for Congo, even though we went behind. And I think he prepared incredibly well for last night. So I'm impressed with what he's done.
Which game was better, the Croatia game or the Mexico game?
Oh, Mexico. I mean, just because of the stakes. But the Croatia game was impressive because that was our toughest game, and we came in to the tournament. And surprised me. I thought that would be a tie or maybe a close win, but it was a pretty open game.
Quite something. Yeah, there you go. England will move on and will face Norway, who beat Brazil yesterday 2-1. Haaland scored a brace. That name brace, that word brace has been all over the news to eliminate Ancelotti's side and send Norway to the quarterfinals. I watched this game. Andy watched a little bit of it. Brazil had a chance to go up 1-0 in a penalty, but Brazil had Newcastle's Guimarães take the penalty rather than Vinny Jr. According to Ancelotti, Guimarães was number one to take the penalty. Missed it. They had a few chances, and at the end, Erling Haaland, towards the end of the game, actually scored for Norway to put them up 2-1. Andy, were you surprised with this result, or did you think Brazil was going to win it?
I did. I thought Brazil was possibly going to win the whole World Cup. And I only thought that because I feel like the squad is deep and they were just getting results without playing incredible. The way they came back against Japan, I was pretty impressed with that second half. I didn't see the first half of the game. I I caught some of it in the car and then caught the last 20 minutes on TV and hadn't really watched Norway properly. Very impressed with them. I thought they played really, really well. They deserved it. They maybe got a little bit of luck with that penalty miss, but they looked the more likely team to score. Brazil was playing way too deep, and I get that's Ancelotti's way, and it's worked for him so much, but I was kind of glad in a way when Norway got the goals because it looked to me a bit like Brazil needed putting out of their misery a little bit. They just weren't bringing enough to the tournament. In a game like this, they really had to make a statement, I felt like. And Norway were better than I gave them credit for. So well done to them.
Yeah, quite something.
Great goals, by the way. That second goal is a phenomenal goal. I mean, people are, you know, Haaland gets undue stick. He's not my favorite player, but he's a great player. And you've got to admit it. And that was just, that second goal is, if Mbappe scores that, we're talking about it more, I feel like.
Yeah, quite something. They could meet in the final. It's the only chance, but we'll see what happens. Also, I also want to bring up Brazil legend Neymar. His last World Cup and the last game for Brazil, played about, I believe, 16 years. Barely made the squad. I heard Ancelotti decided to bring him on last minute. And played the last 20 minutes of this match. He played another game and the group stage. But your thoughts over Neymar's career and legacy for Brazil?
I think the best soccer I saw him play was in that front three at Barcelona. For a couple of years, I think he was pretty amazing. But I don't think it's comparable to several other players. I mean, I think he's a great player. He had a good start to the 2014 World Cup, if I remember. But Brazil, we all know what happened there. It's been okay or it's been a bit of a disappointment. I think he should have done more at international level if he was all that. And I think he's a good player. I just don't think he's one of the greats. That's my personal feeling. I'm probably going to upset a lot of Brazilians. Because it just wasn't over a long enough period for me. I think for a couple of years, he was playing some of the best soccer in the world. You know, behind Messi at that time, was probably one of the best players in the world. But I don't think he's been consistent. I'm glad he got the goal yesterday. I kind of was half expecting him to come in and make an impact goal in a game. But when you're already 2-0 down and the game's almost over, it's a bit of a sad end. I think he's probably a nice human being, but... I don't think he's in the same conversation as a lot of other players. Sorry.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he's in that Mount Rushmore. Maybe, well, most Brazilians think he is with Pele and Romario and Ronaldo, the phenomenon. So we'll see what happens. How Neymar, he is playing in the Brazilian league. So I think I heard he might retire in December towards the end of the year. So we'll see what happens with him. Another game, pretty dirty game. Not sure if Andrew watched this, but Paraguay versus France. France scored a goal, one goal by Mbappe. Paraguay was playing very defensive. They were trying to make France miserable like they did with Germany, but France did not fall into that trap. Are your thoughts over this French team and this win over Paraguay?
Well, that's a good win, isn't it? I mean, clearly, yeah, I mean, clearly Paraguay made it very difficult for them. And the French did it well to it. I mean, I think a lot of people who would have loved to see Paraguay go out and shock France ended up glad France won because I think the tactics of Paraguay were not great. And you're seeing it again. There's been a couple of teams for me who how they've got through a game. I'm not complaining about all the calls last night, for example, but England ended up with three yellows. And Paraguay got none in this game. And I think Bosnia didn't get any against us. Didn't a sub get a yellow card? But no one on the field. And first half, I mean, against US, there could have been four or five yellow cards. So I don't know what's going on with that. The refing started really, really well. But it sounded like in this game was probably about the worst. So Paraguay against, who did they beat after they lost to us? Was that Turkey? 1-0. I was impressed with what they did there because they played most of that game with 10 men and they really did a number on Turkey. And I thought, you know what, they could trouble some teams later on if they can keep this mindset. And obviously they did that against Germany, tried to do it against France, but I don't think you really want to see a team going too far doing that, right?
Yeah, I agree. Playing too ugly.
Unless you're Paraguayan, I'm sorry. I'm sure you probably would have loved to see them go that far doing that.
You know, Paraguayans have a lot of Argentinians in that country. A lot of the descendants. So it's quite, I was reading into the history of that a little bit.
So the Turkey game, to me, they played the South American football at it perfectly. I had no problem with what they did in that game. They made it really difficult for Turkey, and it worked. But I think the way they tried to do it against France was just too much. And the ref has to be tougher.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think about this French squad? Do you think they're, I mean, everyone's saying they're the favorites, they'll make it to the end. But what are your thoughts over this star-studded French team?
Well, they are. I think they're the best squad. Certainly the best first 11. Maybe there's some other really good deep squads, but it's hard to see. I mean, yeah, they could have an off day. I would say the biggest threat is going to be, are they in the same side of Spain and Portugal?
They are.
That's going to be their threat. I think either of those teams on their day could do a bit of a number on the French, and that's what I feel like could happen. I'd say it's 50-50 that France don't make it to the final. But if they're the best team on paper, they could just have one game. And I think the two teams that could do it to them and shut them down a little bit would be Spain and Portugal with possession, especially Spain. So whoever wins that today, I think that's going to be very interesting.
I can for sure tell you Spain has beaten France before, so they know how to beat them. All right, you have predicted well. Predictions for today's game, Portugal versus Spain in Cowboys Stadium. Obviously, Portugal had a huge, huge win against Croatia. Questionable calls, you know, controversial. But your thoughts over this matchup?
I'm going to go for Portugal, which is probably a bit of an upset in a way, because Spain haven't conceded a goal yet, right?
That's correct.
I don't know. I think what I was maybe thinking Brazil were going to do, that Portugal might actually do it, which is just be really tough to play against. They need to get a couple of players more involved, though. I mean, Fernandes has almost done nothing. He's almost not in the game, and he's one of my favorite players. So they've got the tools. They've got the tools to stop it. It'd be a close game. I could see it be even going to penalties.
Yeah.
But if Spain play like they can and open up, get an early goal, I don't think Portugal can live with them. But if it stays tight in the first half, yeah, I'm going to go for Portugal. I just think they've got a little bit of nous in that team, a bit of experience. They can do the nasty side a little bit. Is Ronaldo going to start, do you think?
I would say so, but I would not be surprised if he does it.
Yeah.
Because I know Roberto Martinez, former Everton coach, took him out in the 80th minute, so which that helped Portugal. The sub, Gomez, he tied it or took the lead for Portugal. So we'll see what happens. I know it's a tough call to make, but if you got to do it to win, you got to do it.
Yeah, I back Brazil and Portugal to go all the way. I'm obviously completely off on Brazil, and I might be off. I think partly I did that because I just don't want the France-Argentina final that I think a lot of people do. We got 48 teams. Do we end up with the same final? I don't think that's a great outcome. So I'm hoping Portugal might be. I do think they're loaded. I think they're not being talked about enough, but they're not playing all that great. So, no. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, whoever wins this is going to win it. I think it will be more of a surprise if it's Portugal, though, don't you?
I think Portugal will be a surprise. I think Spain are the favorites. I don't have the odds in front of me, but I do know.
They're a long way from home, Santi, as well. You got to think of that. All these teams are a long way from home. You know, they can have it. But I mean, we saw France only just, in a way, it was a close game against Paraguay. We saw Argentina struggle against Cape Verde. I think the whole thing, it's just a coronation for one of those teams. I think that discussion is changing a little bit by now.
Quite something. Then later on, 8 p.m. Eastern in Seattle, which Andy has been to, USA versus Belgium.
I've not been in that stadium, but Flo
will be playing tonight. Big difference, they say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, it would have been a complete farce. He got a red card. And why that isn't rescinded almost immediately. I mean, I think in the Premier League, there is sin cards, right? I think most of the European leagues do. I didn't know they didn't in the World Cup. Or whatever the protocol is. That's just adding a big talking point to it, which you never know. Maybe Pochettino will be clever and not start him.
The trick to do some mind tricks.
I think the U.S. should win this based on the fact their energy has been so much better than everyone we've played against, and Belgium have looked pretty stale. Now,
big time. They were down 2-0 to Senegal for 85 minutes.
Yeah. And if they step up and come out and play like they could, I mean, it could be tough. But I don't know. I just think the pace of the U.S. is going to be – I'm not so sure they're going to find it easy to live with. And then, obviously, the atmosphere and everything else. The U.S. just keeps surprising me. So I – not that I was surprised they won the last game, but the way they started the tournament – was just another level. The first two games. So I think the U.S. are going to win.
2-1? 1-0?
Yeah, 2-1 is probably a fair one. I think they'll come out strong again and hit them a couple of times. And maybe Belgium will. Yeah, that's going to be a test, though, isn't it, for the U.S.? I mean,
probably the first real test. I mean,
a little bit suspect. It's done better as the tournament's gone on. I don't count the Turkey game because it just didn't really matter.
No one, yeah, it was all like the backups. And, you know, keep in mind with this Belgium team, you know, they're older. They used to be called the Golden Generation. They didn't win anything, but they got an older roster, but they could still win it. We'll see if they start Lukaku tonight.
I think he's actually looked pretty good. They've done better with him on, I think. I mean, Trossard is an incredible winger. Doku's an incredible winger. Maybe not the percentages he needs to get with his, some of his crossing. He can be a bit wasteful. Those two can cause major problems. But it's just something seems to be wrong with the team. I don't know. I think there was one World Cup they did do pretty well. Was that in 2018?
Yeah, they beat Brazil in the quarters.
That's right. Well, I mean, that was and but they didn't make it to the final, did I think?
Yeah, they lost against France.
Yeah, well,
that was an easy dunk for them.
Yeah, so that game, I remember going into that actually thinking this could go either way. I don't think clearly France were a better team that World Cup. I think Belgium were one of the best teams. But for all the talent they've had, they've struggled a little bit to live up to that, I feel like. And they have not looked great in this tournament. I pretty much had them down and out against Senegal. I had it on, but I just thought they're going to. I only came back to it when they went to 2-1. So it's going to be interesting.
Can we quiet something tonight? Seattle, 8 p.m. Eastern. Seattle is good weather, I hear. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, it's generally a bit cooler up there, isn't it? They do get hot days in the summer, though. So I don't know what the forecast is today.
I think 67 degrees or something, but no, 81 degrees for the forecast. My bad.
Yeah.
But it's not a humid heat.
You think the U.S. will win?
I think they'll pull it off. It'll be close, 2-1. I haven't thought about penalties, but
yeah, that's a possibility too.
Yeah,
yeah. We'll the see. U.S. need to use all that energy that they've and try to get. I mean, two goals isn't enough, is it? I mean,
it's not. You got to score a lot in this World Cup, apparently.
It will be interesting though if Logan starts and scores.
Yeah, that'd be a headline. That'll be a headline somewhere. So we'll see what happens. 8 p.m. Eastern in Seattle, Lumen Field. Before we go, we got to talk about Burnley, who got relegated to the championship. They need a head coach. There was rumors of a Scottish coach. What's going to happen there, Andy?
Oh, I got no idea. I mean, I don't know if we're on like fifth, sixth, seventh choice now. It feels a bit like it, but we're not down at Jesse Marsh level yet.
Quite something, huh? How about that?
Yeah. Maybe we'll make a move for Pochettino if the U.S. go out this week.
We'll see what happens in the Burnley in the championship. One of the best second division leagues in the world, isn't it?
Oh, I think it is the best. I mean, it's great. It's great soccer. And we don't have VAR as well, which makes it all the better. So much better than watching Premier League. And you kind of got a lot of the stars of tomorrow for the Premier League. So it's a good league. A lot of them up-and-coming European players too and world players. So it's a good league to watch if you have a Paramount account and you can follow it.
I know. And they have good coverage in Paramount, I've noticed. They'd really have some
very specific
weekends where they kind of dedicate, you know, whenever like the Premier League's off, they have like a dedicated weekends for that. So
no, it's on all the time. It's on every weekend on Paramount.
Yeah.
About four live games a weekend of Championship. So it's right. a lot of teams that have had their taste of the Premier League over the years, and it's just an interesting league. It's I think it's just more intriguing. There's going to be 8 teams in the mix-up this year because they're
the playoff expansion.
I don't agree with that, but that's what they've decided.
It's a lie.
It's not right. It's too much. If you come 8th, you don't deserve a chance. You know, 6th, well, maybe.
We'll see how Haji Wright and Coventry City does in the Premier League this upcoming season.
Yeah, I think is there not a couple of US players playing that division as well?
Probably not in that club, but probably that.
I've been impressed with him watching him. So I wouldn't have been actually too despondent if he'd started tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. He could start. We'll see what happens. Pochettino could play some mystery card like Mourinho does. Yeah. Well, anyways, our time is up. Andy, what is the best way for people to reach you?
You just have to keep inviting me on.
That's the only way. Well, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or on X, thesportscast1, and also on Instagram. The World Cup begins. We'll see how far England goes. Do you guys – England is coming to Miami. To Norway.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of felt like when Norway won earlier in the day – even though, like I said earlier, I rate Norway, but I feel like England will do better against Norway than they would against Brazil. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, I don't think it's an easy game at all, but I think England has a real chance to go to semis. And then with the momentum, and Argentina didn't play great, or Colombia. I'm not even sure Argentina will. I don't think they'll beat Colombia as easily as 8 years ago.
Yeah, they look pretty shaky with Cape Verde.
Yeah, it was a strange one. But I think the team is the team's good, but I think it's just personally, I think it's too over-reliant on Messi right now.
Yeah. He's the only one scoring most of the goals.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's very similar to 86, isn't it? Maradona was by far and away the best player, but he really could carry that team and I think Messi can. But who they got next? Oh, Egypt. I mean, that
Argentina has Mo Salah, which is tomorrow.
They didn't play great in their last game, but they won. So, yeah.
Quite something. Well, there you have it. World Cup coverage will be following along throughout the week. Andy, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me. Good to see you.
And what's your update?